This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I just thought with the weather, it'd be nice to play some summer music.
Let's do it.
So I threw in the Beach Boys.
By the way, the President's Day holiday, we were talking about it at the end of last hour.
Yes.
We used to have a federal holiday for both
Washington's
and birthday and Lincoln's birthday. They combined the two, and that's why we now celebrate it on the third Monday of February.
That is correct.
Okay.
There should be two federal holidays in the month of February, Washington's birthday and Lincoln's. That is correct. Dan, if you're to do a Shakira story at any other time this afternoon,
I have a grievance.
You have to put a little bit of Spanish flair onto it.
It is Shakira.
Shakira, Shakira.
No, it is Shakira.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that.
Hips don't lie.
Now, wait, why is she in the news? I couldn't listen to anything but your mispronunciation. You're the one who always brings in the accurate pronunciations, and you said Shakira, and
right, Shakira,
like
that's her name.
Old white person, and I looked at Scott and I go, did he just say Shakira?
That's not her name.
So not
Shakira,
Dan.
Shakira.
Shakira.
She had a stomach issue, and she was taken to a hospital and had to postpone her concert in Lima, Peru.
Okay.
She's smart to do the her tour dates in the what we consider winter in their summer. And then come back to the United States and Canada in our summer. So she's never in cold weather. Very, very smart.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't like cold weather? Shakira.
She doesn't.
Shakira.
She doesn't mind.
It's been studied.
It gets cold and your hips start to lie.
Okay. Is that one of her songs?
Yes.
Hips don't lie, yeah.
It's like her her one super, super duper famous song.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't know a Shakira song if I heard one.
You would hear that. You whatever, yes, you would.
Whatever.
The song
that's
from
my
the World
rendition.
Cup. Remember that one from a couple years ago? 4 years ago.
What's the name of it?
The World Cup song.
I don't think that's the name of the song.
Well, I know. I can't remember.
No, I don't know it. Captain America: Brave New World, which has been panned by the critics, did very well at the box office over the weekend.
Really?
Bringing in $89 million as of yesterday.
What are the critics now?
They expect it to top $100 million after today because it's a holiday. But it is one of the most panned Marvel movies of all time.
Which means it will only make like $26 billion instead of $25.
Mark Kennedy, writing for the Associated Press, says it is a highly processed, empty-calorie, regret-later candy of a movie.
Wow. I mean, Marvel movies always hit. They could be the worst writing ever. It could be the worst CGI ever done on a Marvel movie, and the Marvel fans will still go watch it.
Flood to go watch it.
I have not heard of half of the movies that are out right now. Is it because they don't advertise for them very much
it's
anymore?
It's kind of a dead season right now for the theater, and it shouldn't be because it's freezing. You would think of all the times you would want to go see something inside and be toasty and warm, it'd be now.
So number one was Captain America: Brave New World.
Yeah.
Number two was Paddington in Peru.
A little bear.
Number three was Heart Eyes. Number four, Dog Man. Number five was Knee-za 2.
Oh, yeah, Hollywood has great ideas right now.
I haven't heard of Knee-za 1.
Number six was Love Hurts. I've heard of that movie, but I don't know anything about it. Number seven was Mufasa the Lion King.
I do want to see that one.
One of Them Days is 8, Companion 9, and Becoming Led Zeppelin 10.
All right. Do we have an airplane update? It is still upside down. We still have 8 injured. Sam, anything new?
They are now saying up to 8 injured, so they're not confident that there are actually 8 injuries. It might be fewer than 8. Everybody has been accounted for, according to a number of different Canadian news outlets. Accounted for means alive. The plane flipped.
You know how they always come up with interesting ways, like when a plane touches another plane on the tarmac or on the runway, they don't call it, they collide. They don't say it was a crash.
What do they call it?
Well, is it a near miss, Sam? What the lingo is always very odd in aviation speak.
Well, so a near miss is when there are two planes in the air that come within 500 feet of one another. That is a near miss. We have argued on this program that should be a near hit.
A near collision.
Because they did miss.
That's right.
As far as the collision on the runway, I don't remember the exact terminology for that one. I do know in this case they're calling it a, and I quote, landing incident.
They're calling this a landing incident.
Right. A landing incident.
Or in aviation speak, nearly upright landing.
We done flipped it.
But not
That's
quite.
AP, exactly.
Because that
crash.
Plane is done upside down.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this, with I was on 1, 2, 3 flights, because one of them was one way, one of them was two way. The only time I looked out the window and thought, man, I hope everyone's doing their job, was when we were taxiing. When we had already landed, I don't worry about flying at all. But once we had landed, and you know, we're just drivey to get to that gate. Mm-hmm. I did look left and I looked right. And I thought to myself, I hope everyone is paying attention.
Now, we have been able to see the other side of the plane. So I had mentioned earlier that this plane rolled. It half rolled. The other wing is still intact. So one wing broke. The other wing is still intact.
Unbelievable.
Either way,
so
it
thankful.
Is upside down.
What does it matter?
In a weird way, it's 8 injured, because when we first saw that plane upside down, I thought this is going to be very, very bad. Very, very bad.
I mean, what does it matter? This plane is a total loss.
Oh, yeah. No, this is going to an NTSB museum to be reconstructed so they can figure out what the heck went wrong.
And then, Sam, let's jump real quick, if we could, to the update on the deadly Washington, D.C. crash involving the helicopter. This was apparently in the Stack Friday. You didn't get to it. I had not heard this update, but it is wow.
Yeah, so the report that I saw on Friday, I don't have it up in front of me, but I remember enough to be dangerous, is that the helicopter, they have a type of training exercise where you do IFR, instrument flight rules, or instrument flight rating, something like that. Essentially, you're flying only with the instruments. There are certain ways that they do that. You put something up in front of the windows. I'm not sure how they would do that on a helicopter or in the military. There had been chatter about having night vision goggles on board, and they had not clarified whether or not those were in use.
Right.
I believe they have since clarified that they were on, meaning on their head, but they don't know if they were turned on or not. But on Friday, it was reported that the helicopter was flying on IFR rating.
Blind. Flying blind.
They were essentially flying blind.
Why?
That's just a training.
But what,
in a city?
But everyone is going to be screaming the same thing. Why do we have to train to do that? You can fly blind over mountains where there's no air. Why do you have to fly blind where other planes are coming in to land at one of the busiest airports?
Why don't you fly
in
blind in western Kansas?
So essentially, when we got the air traffic chatter that they had said to the helicopter, do you see the plane? I don't know what they were referencing there, because obviously
there's
they
a
didn't
lot of planes,
plane.
Right?
And so if they were looking at radar, maybe they did see the plane on radar.
But back to what we were talking about last week or the week prior, when you see the video, the pictures, the video and the still photos of that plane coming into the airport, it is so bright. You would have to be looking at it on radar to not realize, oh, my God, we're about to crash into an airplane.
And the reason that they were at the wrong height, and this has been reported since the early reports that came out about this, is that the altimeter, which lets the helicopter know how high it's flying, the altitude, was off. So in the helicopter, it might have said 200 feet, which was their ceiling. Now, you should never be flying perfectly at your ceiling. You should be flying below the ceiling. That's why it's a ceiling. Obviously, we know that they were flying at about 325 feet because they flew into the side of a plane.
But I mean, I understand why
this
you might
just want... Even though we don't know everything that happened, to your point, Scott, this, to the layperson, seems like the most avoidable...
Dangerous,
but avoidable tragedy that you could have as a pilot.
So if we're going to do IFR, instrument flight rules, or whatever it's called, why not take that helicopter out of the city? Go find some rural place where you can fly blind.
I pulled up a story with a little bit more detail. According to what's effectively the black box inside the helicopter, one pilot thought they were at 400 feet. The other pilot thought they were at 300 feet.
Both are above the ceiling for which a helicopter is supposed to fly in that area.
200 feet would be the ceiling.
Good correct. God. Correct. The crash, by the way, comes on the heels of the Army's highest number of serious aviation accidents, including fatalities in a decade, which goes back to the training. Maybe they are training because the pilots have had a really negative history in the last 10 years. This doesn't help.
I understand, but you're doing it literally in the flight path of one of the busiest airports in the nation.
Maddening.
I don't understand the point. Why? 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Is this Shakira?
Shakira.
Dan, I hope you heard that out in the newsroom. That's how you properly pronounce it.
Yes, he's dancing.
Yes, okay. A story here from Channel 5. An Olathe woman was indicted for wire fraud after a federal grand jury indicted her for using her former employer's company debit card to make hundreds of thousands of dollars of unauthorized purchases. Kendra Gonzalez, 32, was accused of using a company debit card to buy 150 luxury handbags from a social commerce marketplace for online buying and selling of secondhand goods.
They don't like it when you do that.
In total, Gonzalez spent more than $250,000.
Wow!
On the handbag.
Zzz.
According to the indictment, Gonzalez also used the company debit card for unauthorized personal expenses like meals, entertainment, hotel accommodations, along with sending money to other people. She was working as a comptroller at the time that she committed the alleged wire fraud.
There is the key word that we are going to talk about. She was working as the comptroller. This story has been in our stack at least twice a month, every month for the last how many years, Scott? It's always a woman.
It's always a woman.
The embezzlement doesn't always involve like handbags you're going to turn around and sell on Poshmark.
Usually it's gambling.
It's gambling or it's cash.
Mm-hmm.
I ask the same question every time. How does a comptroller who is in control of the comps work in a vacuum so that there is no checks and balances so that someone, like if you or I, Scott, used a company credit card for $40 of gas, I don't have a company credit card, nor would I want one. Someone would probably say, did you put $40 on a company? What was that for? How do women do this where it's hundreds of thousands of dollars? And then no one notices for a year or two or five. Or we've heard of these stories.
I have two other questions. Why do they do this? You know, at some point,
the math does not add up on the ledger.
Correct. At some point, somebody's going to get onto you. Number two, why is it always, and I'm not trying to sound misogynistic, why is it always a woman?
It's always a middle-aged woman.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Kendra, age 32, of Olathe,
is on the
young end of these crimes. Statistically, it's usually a woman between 50 and 60, Scott.
Usually.
Nobody's going to suspect her.
The FBI is investigating the case.
Because it's a federal case. She's using this credit card.
But they never, ever get any. Here's what they get. I'm going to tell you right now. suspended sentence. You have to pay the money back, which she doesn't have, and you're on 18 months of probation. That's always what happens when it's a female embezzler.
It is a white collar crime. She didn't hurt anybody. Financially, she did, but physically, she did not. What are you going to do? Put her in prison for 5 years? Six years?
But don't you think, in part, this keeps happening because there is never any real punishment for it?
I've never been a comptroller. Is there anybody that keeps an eye out on the comptroller?
No.
Is there a controller of the comptroller?
I don't think so.
Then how did she get caught?
Audit.
So there is a check and balance.
Someone at some point thinks something seems off, and then
You mean like $250,000
missing? Right, like $250,000 missing, and then there's an audit, either within the company or an auditor, if it's a city or municipality they're stealing from, or a school.
Yep.
And then that's how it all tumbles out, but it's never right away.
But you ask, why is this a federal case? Because she used the company credit card. Boom. She's done. Because I bet these bags were not bought in Olathe.
No, it's wire fraud because she used
the company
the internet
credit card.
Internet to do her crime.
Yeah, the internet's what makes it federal.
Normally, when we hear about stories like this, it is Jan who is just skimming money off the top from the company as it's coming in.
Because Jan likes to gamble.
And socking it away. Therefore, it stays in the hands of the state. But she's using the company credit card or debit card. And she's buying these bags out of state. Therefore, boom, federal case. Now, the feds are more tough than the state. Almost always. And maybe she does end up going to prison for what she did. It is not unheard of for somebody to commit a white-collar crime and go to prison with the feds. I'm looking at you. What's your face? Who ran for Congress about 10 years ago. What was his name?
I don't know. There have been so many, Scott.
Now, that was a guy.
There have been so many.
Adam Taff, who was trying to buy a house at Lake Quivira.
Well, that is completely different.
Why?
That scenario is completely different than the female embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars. That was a form. He lied on a federal form. That's what that was.
Well, he lied
do
on
you,
a
do you have this money in your account?
Form.
And he said yes, and he did not.
I mean, have you seen the houses at Lake Quivira?
Yes, but he did not steal any money. He moved it over and then moved it back.
But he acquired. He was doing it in the process of trying to acquire something that he couldn't afford.
It would be like if you were a bank, Scott, and you asked me, "Do you have $500,000?" And I go, "Yeah, I do. Let me show you." And I move $500,000 from an account that I'm not supposed to move it from into my account, and I go, "Here is proof I have it." And then he moved it right back. And I'm not defending that.
He ended up going to prison for 2 years.
But I'm glad you brought that up. He went to prison for 2 years. He never stole anything. He just bounced money from one account to another and then put it back.
But isn't acquiring something of value that you have no right acquiring, isn't that in and of itself stealing?
From his own campaign fund? I mean, you're not supposed to do it. But that is completely different than I'm going to jack $200,000 worth of purses and then turn around and sell them on Poshmark.
What I don't understand is why can't, I mean, if she's a comptroller, it's not like she's worried about where her next meal is coming from.
I think you'd be surprised.
Are comptrollers not paid well?
I think this is 32 years old, low end of a company totem pole where you're in charge of payroll. Think of that, Scott.
Okay. I just thought with a name like comptroller, that was, you know, you're not in the C-suites like Sam is these days.
Right.
But
very rare.
I mean, have you seen the executive bathroom?
No, I have not, Sam. Is it gold-plated? The telephone number here is 913-586-7798. But why run the risk is what I've never understood with people who steal money from their business or from the church or from the city.
I think we're asking the wrong question. I think the question is, why don't these people ever go away for any significant amount of time? The answer is almost never.
That's true.
Almost never, except in the case that you just brought up. And he didn't steal anything. He just moved it from one account to the other and moved it back.
Do you think it was because he's a man?
Yeah, I do think a man with some political capital, they made an example out of him. And I don't think that's fair. Every woman who has ever been busted doing this, and there have been nuns.
Yes.
There have been school teachers. There have been a lot of church
secretaries.
They never go away, and they're always named Janice.
Or Doris. 913-586-7798. 586-7798. 7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we very rarely address angry callers who are screaming at us for various reasons, but I will address this. Everyone needs to go home and watch All the Queen's Horses. It is about a woman who committed the largest embezzlement against a city in the history of the world. It shut down an entire city. She stole $53 million and no one noticed until the city was bankrupt, right? Within the body of that documentary that I will never forget, it is one of the best done documentaries about embezzlement. It goes through the statistics of who is most likely to embezzle, who is most likely to steal. When you look at the money, men who are caught on average steal more. But when you look at gender, it is overwhelmingly women, who are stealing for personal gain.
Well, a listener called in and disagrees
employer.
With you.
It just is. It's like 2/3 to 1/3 women to men, and it always starts around age 40.
Now, if we include all white collar crimes, which is not just embezzling, it is only 14%
correct.
Women.
And I think those numbers would bear out overall white collar. It probably is more men, but embezzlers are women named Carol or Janice or Rita. And in the All the Queen's Horses, it was Rita Crundwell. Do not walk to watch that documentary.
She was the treasurer and the comptroller.
It's a comptroller.
Not comptroller. We'll get into that in just a second. For the city of Dixon, Illinois, which is a city of only 15,000 people.
Yeah. She stole $53 million and no one noticed.
Over the course of 30 years. So she's stealing more than $1 million a year from a town. And that's if she was active the entire 30 years that she was the treasurer and comptroller.
You know what they said in the documentary? They all said, like, how could this happen? And every single person they interviewed, small town, every single person they interviewed said, well, Rita just handled all the money. Like, she was just the one for, she was the one that handled the money. So where were the checks and balances? The answer is there were none. There were none. And she opened up a little side bank account. Checks would come in. She cooked the books.
These are jobs that, for whatever reason, women primarily do. For example, in nearly 30 years I've been here, and we don't have an accounts payable department anymore. We haven't in probably 5, 6, 7 years. But when we did, I never saw a man work in the accounts payable department here at the radio
station. It is a predominantly female field.
It was always a female.
Which is wonderful until you get someone in there who want, and in the case of Rita Crumbwell, she wanted to start breeding
horses,
show horses,
quarter horses. Yep.
And she made, like, at the time all this was going on, Scott, she made like, I don't know, $40,000 a year. And no one thought it was odd. She was one of the largest breeders of the most expensive horses that you would see, like at the Kentucky Derby, making like 40 grand a year.
She was originally sentenced to almost 20 years in prison. She served 8.5. And then she was released in 20.
Yeah, she is a piece of work. She is a piece of work.
Now, it is spelled comptroller, but that is not how it is pronounced. We've since learned, Dan Weinbaum.
Oh, yeah, shout out to 7254 on the text line for pointing this out, something I never knew.
No.
I thought it was comptroller because it's spelled comptroller, but it is actually pronounced. Here we go. Let's see if we can do this.
Well, have Sam put it in the pronouncer.
I bet you the pronouncer says comptroller.
Controller.
Oh, no way.
Say it again.
Controller.
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 Which is an N, not an M or a P. Please explain.
Well, the comp comes from, we've been mispronouncing this word for hundreds of years. It comes from a French word, controller.
Controller.
Combined with the French word compte, meaning account. And so they started spelling it and saying comptroller back in the 15th century. But it's actually a misspelling, if you will, and it means controller and is pronounced controller.
But to Scott's question, is there any controller over what formerly was pronounced comptroller? The answer is
It is a senior position to be the controller.
Well, yes, but senior, I don't want people to think we're talking about like C-suite stuff. In the infamous case out of, I believe it was the Quad Cities, she was not making very much money. She was just in charge of an entire city's budget. A city that, by the way, then could not fix their roads, Scott. And I don't remember how it all came out in the wash. Something happened and then the feds got involved and then the whole city was bankrupt.
Well, and C-suite doesn't always mean rich.
No, it just means a person in authority. And a controller of the funds.
I refuse to pronounce it like that.
I do, too. I'm with Dan on that. I'm going to stick with comptroller. I don't care if it's correct or not.
Why make it an M and a P if it's just going to be pronounced controller?
I agree.
Why not just say that I'm the controller, like the controller of money?
Which is what they are.
Exactly.
Because English.
No.
Such a fascinating language.
Okay. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. A therapist who treats phone addictions says the withdrawal symptoms that people suffer are similar to those experienced by drug addicts.
Come on.
No, it's real.
Lee Fernandez, who is 48 years old, is an addiction specialist at UKAT, an organization which offers inpatient rehab treatment for people struggling with drug issues, alcoholism, even behavioral addictions, such as gambling, gaming, and the internet. Fernandez says that in the last 5 years, he has seen a significant rise in phone, technology, and social media addictions, with one of his recent clients spending between 15 and 17 hours a day on YouTube. And those who try to quit can suffer from withdrawal symptoms, which are as serious as those experienced by drug users trying to quit heroin, such as shaking, sweating, insomnia.
I want to go back to one of the sentences you just read. Those who are trying to quit. If you have an eating disorder, as in you are an overeater, you can't just quit food. That's why food is one of the most difficult things. You can stop drinking alcohol, and I'm not saying it's easy to do so. You can change your friend group. You can stop going to liquor stores and bars, all of those things. Mm-hmm. You can't just stop eating or you'll die.
True.
Well, with your phone, can you just stop having a phone?
You can stop swiping.
You can stop spending 17 hours a day on it.
I went cold turkey January 1st, and last week I fell off the wagon.
Do tell.
I started swiping.
You know, this is a safe space for you, Sam.
On Tuesday of last week, and I found myself every instant that I got. I don't know what drove me to open up Instagram Reels on Tuesday of last week. I don't know where the urge came from.
Wait a minute. You did this last Tuesday, and you're just now coming clean?
Because I hadn't. Well, because I didn't realize the effects that it was having on me until this weekend when I found myself sitting and scrolling
denial
for 45 straight minutes.
Egypt, Scott.
I know.
So
I know,
on Tuesday, something pushed me, and I opened up Instagram, and I fell off the wagon. And today I had to go back cold turkey.
And remove the app. You remove the app.
No, I just every time I open my phone, I remind myself, you're not here to go to Instagram. Stop. Stop.
But it's still on your phone.
Well, yeah, I want to, you know, see if people message me or whatever.
This is a great point from the text line. You can die from alcohol withdrawal. Believe me, when I was in rehab, they have you on a pill regimen so that you don't. You don't die if somebody takes the phone out of your hand.
Oh.
What?
Some teenagers would disagree. They would just die if you took it from them.
Well,
I mean, you're not going to actually have a true adverse medical response.
Well, he says this. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I beg your pardon. He says that people who are trying to quit their phone addiction can have shaking, sweating, and insomnia, not unlike...
That's panic about not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
You fill that time so regularly with that one activity to the point that even after a month and a half of me not doing it, all I did was pick up my phone and open Instagram once. And all of a sudden, every time I opened my phone, it was the first thing I opened.
Jonesing for a fix. Getting the shakes.
I have seen people withdraw from heroin. And it's ugly.
Oh, yeah.
It is ugly.
I think it's more with a phone, would it be just a more uncomfortable feeling? It's not the physicality that is withdrawal from a substance.
Agitation.
Yeah.
But that's the same withdrawal from a substance. It's agitation in just a more physical form.
Yeah.
But your body needs to in your mind and your body has trained itself to function normally. I have to have that substance, whether it's alcohol or heroin or pills or whatever. Now, maybe your brain has tricked you into thinking, I need to have that phone. I need to open up that TikTok app to function normally. But there's not that substance addiction where your body craves it just to function.
Well, until you go into a deep, deep depression because you're not getting any dopamine satisfaction after years and months of getting 6 to 8 hours of that dopamine charge every single day.
All right. So this therapist, Lee Fernandez, says that some people who are trying to withdraw from their technology use, he calls them technology addicts, for them to pull away from their technology is almost like somebody who is addicted to heroin or alcohol, removing themselves from those substances. 913-586-7798, 913-586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Yeah, not everything that aired on Saturday Night Live last night can be played on the radio. We were just watching one of the skits.
The Kate McKinnon alien abduction is always one of my favorite. Over the 50 years of Saturday Night Live, it is one of my favorites.
Pure hilarity.
We cannot air...
Not a word.
A lot of it.
Wait, why? What words do they use?
I love Meryl Streep coming in as her mother, and she's sitting there all manspread next to Kate McKinnon. It's hilarious. John Hamm is laughing.
It's not the words that they use.
Woody Harrelson's laughing.
It's the scenario that they paint with those words that would get us in. I mean, we wouldn't get a fine, But we'd get a call from boss.
The FBI investigators are like, why do you think the aliens are so intrigued with you, Kate McKinnon's character?
Right.
The answer is not something we can repeat.
Correct.
It is hilarious.
913-586-7798. Ashley in Kansas City. Ashley, hello.
Hello, Ashley. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I think what's actually happening is these people are having an anxiety reaction to not having their phone. It's not an actual withdrawal from it, because I've been through DTs like I'm sure you did, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very physical thing, and it will make you sick. And I know the brain is very powerful, and the brain can cause a physical reaction like that. But I think this is more of an anxiety thing, and I think it kind of... It makes those of us who are addicts like you and I, Scott, I think it makes it seem like it's a lighter subject than it is. Whenever you're talking about something like being addicted to a phone or being addicted to gambling, not that those aren't very serious issues, they are, but they're a whole different kind of issue. Whenever I stopped drinking, I had a seizure from not having enough alcohol in my system. That's a serious problem. And I don't think anybody's having a seizure from not having their phone.
So, Ashley, you might take a little bit of comedy in this. On day two of rehab, I was starting to have DTs pretty bad and badly. And I went over to the other building for lunch, and it was shrimp fried rice. Let's just say I didn't eat a lot of it. I wore a lot of it.
Wow.
But I didn't eat it.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're shaking so bad and the night sweats and everything. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what we actually went through to get to where we are now. You know, I'm 2.5 years sober now.
Good.
I worked my butt off for that, just like you have for your sobriety, Scott.
Well,
I think saying that a phone is just as addictive as something like heroin, which I've had friends die from trying to get clean, is just appalling, in my opinion.
I think the word you're looking for might be insulting.
Insulting. Yes, that's a great word for it, Scott. Thank you. Yes, it is insulting to those of us who have been there and who have been through it.
Ashley, thanks for the call.
Bye, guys.
Be well. 913-586-7798. Natalie in Overland Park. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. I am a mother of a 2003 baby. So I personally think if you're born in that era, you're going to be attached, because parents track their children out. The brain says, I'm being tracked. I need my phone. But if you talk to somebody born in 1973,
right,
I lived the life of not being tracked. I got to leave the house and nobody knew where I was going.
Yeah.
And then you talk to somebody born in 1948 and they don't really even use the phone. So it's a perspective on if they're addicted. And I think the younger generations are. I think us in the 70s, we can take away the phone for 2 weeks. We know what it felt like because we lived that life. But talk to somebody, you know, born in 2000, and they're going to be addicted.
And it's worse for them. See, Natalie, thank you for the call.
I just wonder if we soften the word addiction by using it when we, in terms of...
We're watering it down, no pun intended.
Yeah, literally. And when we talk about a phone addiction or
But I would put gambling and I would put in a separate category, not identical to heroin or alcohol, but I think gambling is an addiction.
Well, there is the dopamine release that comes from, for some people, from the, you know, the ding, 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 ding.
People lose their jobs. They lose their houses. They go off and embezzle to, why would you do that if you could just stop?
And they get aggressively depressed. We have spent decades trying to normalize the conversation about mental struggles. And to say that you can't be addicted to something because it's a mental response and not a physical response takes all of that effort and all of that progress and pushes it aside because one is worse than the other.
True. I'm not an addiction specialist, but I am an addiction expert. But to me, I understand when you drink alcohol or ingest or inject the opioid or heroin, that there's a dopamine release in the brain. I get it. I understand the science. But there's also a substance component within alcohol, within the heroin, that also gets its talons in you and will not let go. Where is the substance component in a phone or in gambling or in, you know, sex? People say, well, he's a sex addict. Those three things that I just mentioned lack the substance component that alcohol has, that heroin has, that cocaine has, that literally gets its hands around your neck and will not let go.
When we get back, I'm not parent shaming at all, but I do have a question.
Okay.
I was not prepared, or I guess I did not realize, going through a handful of casinos this last few days, how many parents bring their children to casinos in Las Vegas.
Give me an age.
2, 4, 6, 12. Scott, there were children.
You can shame them.
Everywhere. And we kept saying, when did this become a thing that you take your children to a casino? You wouldn't be allowed to take your children to Harris here, would you? Or Hollywood?
I have no idea.
There were kids everywhere.
You cannot go onto the casino floor here, but it's different in Vegas.
Sam, everywhere you look, there was a kid sitting on their phones, leaning against a wall. I assume mom and dad were gambling. Is that a thing?
Sitting up against a wall? Save it till we get
back.
I've
got some insight.
All right. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.